Let us pray in regard to our message for this day. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. It is said that Napoleon's soldiers used to sleep while they were on the march. They were moving forward, yet seemed to be almost asleep, and were indifferent to everything that was going on around them. There may well be millions of Christians who are like them. They are moving forward quickly in their journey of life. Yet they have long ago forgotten about the call and the claims of God in their lives. They are indifferent in their need for a relationship with Jesus Christ. What exactly is indifference? Our title this morning is The Problem of Indifference. Well, it can be defined as being without interest or concern, not caring, a feeling of apathy toward something. And in our case, it's a lack of interest or concern for the church. And it's the church of Jesus Christ that I'm talking about this morning, not St. Mark specifically. But if we are not concerned about Christ's church, it is very likely that we are not concerned about following Jesus and His will for our life either. I thought perhaps we could better understand our situation by studying God's Old Testament church. And hopefully we will learn something about ourselves by doing that. So I chose for our meditation this morning the words from God's great prophet Isaiah, who spent a good part of his life battling the seeming indifference of what were considered to be God's people. You see, indifference is a giant problem for the church. It can be deadly to the individual, and if there's too many of them in a particular assembly of believers, it can devastate that body also. And because of their importance, bear with me and let me repeat just a small part of what Donna read this morning from the prophet Isaiah. He wrote, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him when he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he might have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Israel was guilty of the sin of indifference. God spoke to them one time after another through his prophets, but most of them did not care to listen. It was like speaking to a stone wall. The typical Israeli of those days is described in Isaiah 45:20. Quote, "He sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear." Unquote. These words have been preserved for us for a reason. Indifference is also a problem in God's New Testament church. But the reality is, if we're honest with ourselves, that we have probably all been indifferent at some time. Isaiah 53:6 would seem to indicate this. Isaiah cried out about the cold indifference of his people when he said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." And the apostle Paul writes in Romans 3, "There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God." That seems to be our natural condition, whether we want to admit it or not. God calls on the wicked to forsake his way. Who are the wicked? The wicked are anyone who do not have a relationship or fellowship with the Lord. God calls on the unrighteous to forsake his thoughts. Based on some of the readings I've done recently and personal experience, one of the main conflicts Christians have, you can still be a Christian and have terrible problems with your thought life, thinking things you should not think. God calls us to repentance. And we don't want to miss that key point in Isaiah 55. God calls on man to return to the Lord that he might have compassion on him. And God promises that he will pardon him. God pardoning isn't the problem. Our returning to him is. Now keep in mind that Isaiah, who Isaiah is addressing here, it's the people of Israel, right? They believe there is a God. They believe that they are the chosen people of God, probably. But they are not taking God seriously. Hear what God said to another of his prophets, Jeremiah, in chapter 33, quote, "So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain." There is a danger in living a life of indifference to God. And Israel discovered that. God warned them, but most of them paid no attention. They probably thought, the commentators say, that surely God wouldn't do all these things that he threatened to do. And in ignoring God and breaking his Sabbath and living lives of apathy in response to his commands, they offended God so much that he allowed the conquest of Israel and years of bondage and captivity. I sometimes think about this when I look at our beloved America and what direction we're going today. God wants us to look at the lessons of the Old Testament so that we might learn more of his nature and not repeat the mistakes of the past. So I ask you to ask yourself today, when it comes to the things of God, the will of God, and the call of God, are you guilty of the sin of indifference? You ask yourself that. I ask myself that. Not be asking it of other people, ask it of yourself. Are you actively pursuing an increased knowledge of God? If not, why not? Well, you've got the Bible memorized. Are you seeking the will of God in your life? How much interest do you have in what is going on in your church? The church in which you have taken a vow to remain faithful when it comes to worship and serving God? Do you find it to be a dull routine in which you had little or no interest? Well, if that's the case, there's still hope for you. That's how I used to be. There was a day I sat out there and I had little or no interest. Thank God that He broke through my resistance and rebellion. Ask yourself, are we too busy doing our own thing? Are we too busy with work? That's what some people tell me when I call them, why they haven't been in church in 10 years. Are we too busy for God? Then indeed we are too busy. And God will not be ignored. His character, His attributes will not allow it. There will be consequences. I believe Jesus once said in the Bible, "He who is not with me is against me." There's just two camps. So you see, we find God sharply has to address the problem of indifference in the New Testament also. The Apostle John quotes the Lord in Revelation 3, and I almost dropped this passage because I didn't want to read it. It was written to a church. The Lord says, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth." If we are to understand Father God, we really need to look at all of His attributes. There is love. There's also the other side for those who reject Him. And so there is a call for repentance today, not just for Israel, but for God's New Testament church. The Bible makes it clear that God is holy. Do you realize what that means? He's perfect. And that man, that includes the pastors, is sinful. And that sin brings about separation between God and man. And without repentance, people cannot have fellowship with a holy God. And repentance does not mean to just feel sorry for our sins, but it also means to confess our sins to God and forsake them. It means to agree with God that what we have done is wrong and to turn and go in the opposite direction. And from all I can tell, repentance is not just a one-time thing for a Christian. Despite the fact that we have been baptized into Christ and received the Holy Spirit, we still have a sinful nature and at times commit sin. And God, give Him credit and thanks, in His love and showing care for us, has provided a way for us to deal with that problem. The Word says in 1 John 1, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." If we confess our sins, do you hear that? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that a great promise? That's what I'm clinging to this morning. And last, but not least, Jesus has provided a wonderful gift to His church by which we can deal with our sinful nature and strengthen our fellowship with God. In the last hours of his life, when Jesus could have been doing so many things, what was he doing? He was instituting the sacrament of Holy Communion. And I believe that the timing of that gift shows it to be of great importance. When I was much younger, and the youth director here, I asked a former pastor why we don't have altar calls at our church. And he replied that we do have altar calls at our church. And I says, what do you mean? He says, I mean that every two or three Sundays here, we confess our sins and our need for forgiveness, and we come forward to be forgiven of our sins and renewed by receiving the body and blood of our Lord. I thought that was a pretty good answer. I'd have to say we do have all the cults in the Lutheran Church. Are you indifferent or not? I'm not sitting up here thinking about anyone. I have enough to do keeping track of myself. But don't deceive yourself. And if you really want some facts which would indicate, you might take a look at your communion attendance. For that will probably give you a good clue as to how seriously you are taking the Lord. May his gifts and his grace sustain you until you meet him face to face. Amen.